We're going to look at the passage that we read from Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Luke, as he writes his Gospel, is completely absorbed with Jesus. Luke is completely absorbed with Jesus. In the opening four chapters, Luke highlights that Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, is in fact the Son of God. Indeed, it's clear from what is written that he is both fully God and fully man. Luke also shows us the uniqueness of Jesus when he was tempted by the evil one. Such was his goodness, such was his self-control, and such was his selflessness, that when he was faced with the most powerful of temptations, he resisted and stood firm. Luke also highlights how Jesus spoke with absolute authority, how he cast out evil spirits, how he healed the sick. No wonder Luke, like the hymn writer, was lost in wonder, love, and praise as he thought of Jesus. Like Luke, are we also completely absorbed with Jesus? For us, is Jesus the name high over all? It's so easy, isn't it? Because we are so familiar with them, to read and to hear read these awesome truths and not be touched by them. And it's my prayer that God, by his Spirit, will continually rekindle in our hearts this love for Jesus. Clearly, Simon Peter was among those who had previously met Jesus and been touched by him. Even before the fishing incident that we read about in chapter 5. In chapter 4, verses 38 to 39, Jesus visited Simon Peter's home and healed his mother-in-law. Indeed, I wonder whether all the miracles that we read about at the end of chapter 4 took place in Simon Peter's house. Because it was not until chapter 4 and verse 42 that we're told that Jesus departed. But there was more to come. Jesus was still in that vicinity when we come to chapter 5. Simon Peter, James and John had parked their boats on the beach by the lake and were not washing their nets when Jesus approached. But clearly, people were on the lookout for Jesus. And so it wasn't long before word spread that Jesus was in the vicinity, that he was on the beach, and a crowd gathered around him. But did you notice when we read in verse 1 why these people came? The general public came. Why? They came to hear the word of God. That's why they came. They came to hear the word of God. People were recognizing that Jesus was different. And what he said was different. You may remember some of the other things that people said about Jesus. Matthew tells us in Matthew 7 and verses 28 and following, that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And in John 6 and verse 67, when things were getting difficult, and Jesus turned to his disciples and he said to them, "Do you also want to go away?" They paused and replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus brings us the word of God. It is the word of truth. It is the word of life. On Thursday, I listened as 55 children recited John 3:16. The word of truth. The word of life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And it was fascinating on the radio this morning, the Radio 4 service that we sometimes dip into and sometimes keep on and sometimes turn off, to hear John 3:16 recited in a whole range of tongues. And I thought, well, that's better than many Radio 4 services. John 3:16, going out in loads of different languages. God's word. The word of truth. The word of life. And I pray that we may, like these people, and perhaps better than these people, because many forsook Jesus here, that we might be those who love the word of God, who love the word of truth, who love the word of life. I also love what happened next in this story. Jesus got into Simon's boat and asked him to float the boat onto the water so that he could address the crowd from the boat. I don't know whether many of you are familiar with being beside a lake or beside the sea. I wonder whether there was a light onshore breeze blowing at that time. I remember speaking at an open-air service on Felixstowe Beach one Whit Monday afternoon. In geography, I had studied onshore and offshore breezes. And at that time, I often licked my finger and put it in the wind to see which way the wind was blowing. And that afternoon, I realized that there was a gentle breeze blowing off the sea that would carry my words so that many would hear the gospel that day. And it was encouraging how many people told me that even on the promenade they could hear what I was saying. And hear the words of Jesus wafted to the multitudes. If we've received the word of God, let's pass it on and let it be heard. Because there are still people today who, like this multitude, want to hear the word of God and respond to it. But Jesus also had something else to do that day. And so in verses 4 to 7, After finishing his teaching, he told Peter to launch into the deep, the deeper water of the lake, and to let down his nets for a catch of fish. Now to Peter, an experienced fisherman, that seemed a very strange command. He and his fellow fishermen had just spent the night fishing without catching a fish. And conventional wisdom told him that it was completely the wrong time to go out fishing. Peter would not have done this on his own initiative. But then he adds this: nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, if you say so, I will do it. And what a haul they got. It was massive. There were so many fish that they had to call on their partners to bring their boat to land the catch. And what a lesson they learned that day. They learned that Jesus is Lord. He truly is the Lord of heaven and earth and sea. And such are his riches that he is able, as the Apostle Paul writes, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. As these fishermen looked at their haul of fish, they were astonished. But this incident made an even greater impact on Peter. Even greater than the healing of his mother-in-law and the other miracles that Jesus had performed. We see that in his response in verse 8. But why did this miracle make such an impression on Peter? Why was it the discovery that Jesus is Lord of all? Was it that he was overwhelmed by the awesome power and glory of the Lord? Was it that the lordship of Jesus now touched his everyday life, his livelihood? Was it that the wisdom of Jesus could overturn conventional wisdom? Because it can. Was it that in the view of the amazing lordship of Christ, he felt so ashamed that he had been half-hearted in his following of Jesus, and ashamed that he had doubted Jesus when he had told him to launch into the deep water for a catch? There may have been something of all of those things in Peter's response. But whatever prompted it, the scriptures tell us that he fell on his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." 750 years before this incident, Isaiah recorded a similar experience. He wrote, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And then he adds, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Many years before Isaiah, Job says, "I have heard of you, the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." What am I coming to? An experience of the glory of Jesus, an awareness of His Lordship, invariably sharpens our sense of our own unworthiness in His presence. The contrast is so great. The greatness of the Lord Jesus, whose very word is the word of God, whose lordship extends to heaven and earth and sky and sea. The contrast between His glory and our imperfections and sinfulness and failures is so great. And everything can be exposed, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our failures, that we just realize how far we fall short of the glory of God. But when this happens to us, take heart, for Jesus died to deal with our sinfulness. So now we can confess our sin, knowing that He who died for us and who rose from the dead has said that if we confess our sin, He will forgive us our sin. And He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Peter, having fallen on his knees before the Lord, is now called to serve the Lord Jesus. That's a great starting point for service, isn't it? And that is what Peter experienced in verse 10, when Jesus responded to Peter and said to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." From now on, you will catch men. There are a number of little incidental lessons that we can pick up at this point. Notice that the call to serve does not come in a place of worship. It doesn't come in a preaching meeting or a prayer meeting, but in a boat on the lake. There are no limitations about how or where the Lord might call someone to a special ministry. God is not limited. Notice another little lesson about service, that they didn't succeed in the catch of fish unless they adhered to the words of Jesus. Without Him, we will not succeed. His word is vital. Notice also that in view of service, that after this miraculous haul of fish, none of them would have had any doubt about the Lord's ability to provide for their everyday needs as they served Him full time. And so when Simon Peter and his fisherman friends had brought back their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now it may be, when we compare the different Gospels, that Simon Peter and his other fishermen disciples had already been called to follow, but had not done so in a complete and unconditional manner. But now there was no half-heartedness, but rather total commitment to the Lord. And there's a challenge for us, isn't there? Have we a total commitment to the Lord Jesus? Are we totally committed? I remember on one occasion somebody being called to a pastoral ministry and invited to the part-time pastorate of a church. And this man responded, although you have called me to be your part-time pastor, and I will work some of the time to support myself, I can't be a part-time servant of the Lord Jesus. I'm a full-time servant of the Lord Jesus. And that's our call, isn't it? Will we serve him wholeheartedly? But finally this morning, as I reflected on this passage, I was reminded that there is a sequel to this story. A sequel to this story that we find in John's Gospel in chapter 21. Before the crucifixion, Jesus said to his disciples, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And then after his death and resurrection, he sent them a reminder when an angel said to Mary, "Tell his disciples he is going before you into Galilee." And so they went. And what did the disciples do as they waited for Jesus to come? They went onto the lake and they began fishing. How therapeutic it must have seemed to them after the trial and crucifixion of Jesus and all the excitement of Easter Day to go fishing. Then how disappointing to spend the whole night again without catching anything. Until a stranger appeared on the shore and called to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they called back, "No." Then the stranger called back, "Cast the nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And they threw their nets out one more time. And this time they were not able to draw the nets in because of the multitude of fish. They even counted them, 153. And what happened? Immediately John recognized it was the Lord. Why did John recognize it was the Lord? Because it was just like a miracle that Jesus had performed 3 years before. Because the voice that spoke to them had the same authority as the voice that spoke to them 3 years before. It was the same love and devotion and care that they had known 3 years before. And so none of them dare ask, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. And dear Peter put on his cloak, jumped into the sea, and headed for the shore. Must have been very soppy wet when he got there, but that's what he did. Now, I don't believe for one moment that it was an accident that the disciples spent that night fishing without catching any fish. And nor do I believe it's a coincidence that we never hear of these fishermen going out to catch fish again. Because I believe that that incident was meant to remind those disciples of the story that we've been looking at today. When once before they had spent a night fishing without catching any fish. And a reminder that Jesus is Lord. An incident to cause them to humble themselves before him. To remind them that he had called them not to catch fish, but to catch men. And to give them an opportunity to reaffirm their commitment to him. I wonder, do we like Peter and those other fishermen disciples need reminders from time to time that Jesus is Lord and that we have been called to love Him and to follow Him and to serve Him all the days of our life. Amen.